seemed like everything that we would undertake to do just almost has to be preceded by prayer, whether it's spoken or unspoken. That's such a necessary position to start from. The Lord said on one occasion, He said, "You have not because you don't ask. Or if you ask, you ask from the wrong thing in the wrong way. But if we ask in the right way," He said, "I'll hear you. And I'll grant what you need." That's a good promise, isn't it? Now, if He could, would just help us to know what to ask for. There's a couple terms in the scriptures, and basically and mainly we'll be looking at the third and fourth chapters of Romans. Maybe make some reference to other scripture that's basically addresses the same thing. A couple terms that's used in the scripture that are similar in a lot of ways, and yet they're they kind of take on a different meaning. The two things kind of happen at the respective time, and one in relation to the other. Hopefully, I can, by the Lord's help, clarify some of that. The two words that's used in the scriptures with so much importance is to impute for one, in another, in relation to that, far different but certainly relative to it, is to make an atonement. First, the scripture addresses the first quite lengthy, and certainly in Romans and in other places, but they're probably more completely than some of the other scriptures. I'd like to first call your attention to one verse that's in the third chapter of Romans, and just more or less to make a point that it's a prevailing point, and it's exercised and demonstrated in a lot of the scriptures. But it's a very basic thing, but it's one of those things that that regardless of what we're looking at in the scripture or thinking about, it's kind of like a foundational truth that's there, and kind of from that standpoint that we work with something. And it's the third chapter in the 22nd verse. He talks about a righteousness, and he words it this way. It's a very, very interesting way that this particular verse is worded. Points to one of the very basic things of our faith and our belief, and also to his. And he talks about the righteousness. He talks about the righteousness that was in the law. And there was a righteousness of the law. It was not to be compared to a greater righteousness, but certainly it was a righteous thing. People obtained a certain righteousness by obeying the law. Now it didn't take the sins away from their bodies, and it didn't prevent death and a lot of these things, but there was a righteousness that was granted to God's people in keeping the law. But there was a righteousness that was of absolute necessity, that had nothing to do with the law of Moses. 22nd verse of that third chapter. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The difference that he is addressing, or the absence of it, is of course that between the Jews and the Gentiles. But it went much further than that. It talks about the faith of Jesus Christ that come by. He's the source of it, and he is also practice it perfectly. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. God had faith in his Son to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void of the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. The fourth chapter, and let's go down to the eighth verse. He speaks of a particular people, and he will begin to give us testimony about a man called Abraham. Abraham was God made him a great man. We have no idea what he was before God called him out of his native land. That's a good point. When God calls someone, it didn't really matter where they was. What matters is where he's moving them to. it's not reasonable to think that Abraham was a perfect man. But God didn't call him because he was perfect, nor because he was imperfect. But God called him. And he begins to talk about Abraham. He gives Abraham, God acknowledges Abraham. Abraham wasn't perfect, but Abraham done some good things. And God acknowledged that. There's several reasons why that it's necessary, my friend, that the good thing that people do and the good things that's in people need some acknowledgement. And so many times, people, when they acknowledge that, it's misinterpreted as being some kind of a boasting. Well, it's okay for us to boast if we're boasting about what the Lord's done. God had done some wonderful things to Abraham. And I don't think he did it because Abraham was such a good person. Else that would have been a cause that was recorded. The sixth verse of the fourth chapter. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. To impute, the term means that he just attributes the righteousness of one to another. The righteousness of God. Because of the righteousness of God, my friend, many things come to you and I. David saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing upon the circumcision only? What David is saying is the Gentiles not included in this? See, that what the apostle, what he's addressing, it's relevant to you and I. Most of the time in his travels, when the apostle would go to churches, even in a Gentile areas, they would be made up to a great degree by Jews. Because when the church at Jerusalem was being persecuted, And they had to leave for their own safety, their just natural physical safety. They had to leave. And they were dispersed all over the world, it says. And wherever they went, that's where the church went. And a lot of the places that the apostle would go to, the church was already there established by, obviously, some of the other apostles that had been there prior to him. Cometh this circumcision only. He goes on to explain more about that. For time's sake, let's look at the 11th verse. And he again makes reference to Abraham. And he tells us that Abraham, there was something that happened to Abraham before he was circumcised. Because that was such a point with the Jews. And it was an important thing. It was something that God had commanded them to do. But there were some things that went before that. And the Jews had got to where that they put so much importance in some of this physical activity that was right, that should be done. And yet they put too much emphasis on that and not enough on some of the things that preceded it. When God called Abraham, it was prior to circumcision. When God called Abraham, he wasn't on the banks of Jordan. He was over in that heathen land, and we don't know anything, we don't need to know anything about that. When one of God's children, my friend, is quickened by his spirit and brought into fellowship with him, we don't need to know everything that happened in his life. It's what lies ahead that's important. And so it was with Abraham. And a lot lay ahead for him. They called Abraham the father of circumcision, because that seemed to be the first, that it was practiced. Certainly commanded. Abraham was reckoned because he was righteous. And the scripture says in the 10th, how was he reckoned? Reconciliation. How was this man brought to a position and brought to a time in his life when God would really commend him? We know he didn't come by that naturally, don't we? And the 10th verse says, well, how was he reckoned? When he was in uncircumcision or in circumcision? See, the Jews had got to where they'd put so much emphasis on some of these physical things, and not to say that they were wrong, but they were just putting in the wrong amount of importance on some of them things. How was he reckoned? Or reconciled? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? So by the guidance of the Spirit, the apostle is putting the circumcision in the right position. How was he reckoned? Was it in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. You see, the keeping of the law. And basically, from a real sense, as far as activity was concerned, I suppose that circumcision was the beginning of it. That was one of the first commandments that was given to take place to one of the Jewish children. And one of the things that Christ himself submitted to. Now, the Jews did it as a sign of removing the filth, their filth. And see, Christ didn't have that problem. But Christ was such that he left us examples. He did things, my friend, as an example to you and I, that he didn't need to do because of himself, but as an example to us. And he, that is Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they were not be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed into them also. Imputation. He's talking about putting the righteousness of Christ within them. And it wasn't because they're circumcised. It wasn't because they were called Jews. Because it would be a long time before the term Jew was ever used. But he called Abraham the father of that circumcision. In the 16th verse, therefore, and he talks about the faith, it was a faithful thing that Abraham engaged in. You see, Abraham didn't have all the patterns set before him that you and I have, or that the Jews come later. God dealt with Abraham and he opened something. That's the reason he was referred to as being a father. Sixteenth verse, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but also to that which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom believeth even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. Who against hope, that is Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. His belief imputed, put in him something that God did for him, put in him. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. In there's a lot said about the imputation. And it just means taking something from someone and putting it in someone else, that they might be the possessor of it and have the benefit of it. And God has done this. He's done that to you. But he's done something else because that needed something else. And it was called the atonement. the word in our scripture that appears along about the time that our Bible was originated, changed into the English language. It actually happened a little before then, but that general time frame. And a word, atonement. And in that day, and it has the same application. It means to make at one. Reconcile, after being in discord, made it one, atonement. If if we just really look at the spelling of that word, that's what it says. At one meant atonement. He done so much. In the 5th chapter of Romans, the 19th verse. Lots of related scripture, but to look at this. 19th verse, 5th chapter. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see the atonement. That he's making one. That was a great thing. That's what the Jews thought that he did it when he called Abraham and when he made them the descendants of Abraham, literally. But you see, God existed before Abraham did, didn't he? You know, Christ testified to that to the Jews. When they were so proud to associate themselves with Abraham. And Christ told them, he said, you know something? Before Abraham was, I am. It was not wrong that they looked at Abraham in the right perspective. But my friend, he was not God. And in everything that the Abraham did, he had to do it by the authority that God gave him. But he was not their Savior. But the atonement. One more place. It's a relative scripture that Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. And it'll be... some of the scripture look at in the 3rd chapter of Galatians. A lot of the scriptures that Paul, the things that he addressed in Galatians was what he had addressed other places. Thirteenth verse, of that 3rd chapter of Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And he goes on to expound upon the covenant that had been made. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as many, but as to one, and thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which came 400 years later, 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. We see that it has present over that. It cannot change. In the 21st verse, if the law then is the law then against the promises of God, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, then verily righteousness should have been by the law. But he makes some explanation to that. But the scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Continue to pray for us. May the Lord bless you.